So it is an interesting perspective coming from the chaplaining world. And I met people with a lot of different views of pain and suffering. For some, it seemed to almost be a badge of honor, almost of like, not quite a rite of bragging, but just this badge of honor. Oh, look how good and faithful I am, for I'm being tested once more. And for others, it was almost like this consequence of some unknown sin that they were being persecuted for. And it was, for me, I kept trying to, understand by asking more questions of their theological views and understanding. And it worked to be that for both, it was, trying just to understand where they were coming from. But both were accepting, and some were avoiding, and it just that moving into that unpleasantness. And some were just accepting. Like, this is part of this illness of life, that I must go through this. And for most, it's that we just want to avoid suffering at all cost. It's not pleasant. It's a part of life that we just want to avoid, and that seems to be the most typical response, is that we just want to avoid suffering, which I fully understand. And yet, as Christians, we come each Sunday where we are joined with the Holy Spirit at the waters of baptism, and we offer our confessions of sin, and we seek forgiveness. We actively listen for the voice of God to come alive in the proclamation of the spoken word. And then we partake of communion, where we receive Christ's body and blood, and we participate in the flow of liturgy, which affirms our promises made in baptism, which ties us closer to the theology of the cross, which is where we are shaped closer to becoming more like Christ. Which, when we do all these acts of service, of worship, we profess in our joining of Christ and with Christ in his suffering, which kind of counteracts as a culture and a society where our fears drive us to seek comfort. So that is kind of a contradiction of what we profess each Sunday. And this week in our text, we see that continuation of the contradiction of the disciples. In Christ, we just finished that third passion prediction, where he goes into further detail of what he must suffer when he gets to Jerusalem, what he must go through as part of this. It is for our sake and for the sake of others, what he must go through, these trials and tribulations, this suffering, this humiliation, to wipe away the debt of sin, to make us whole. He must go through these things. And Christ is saying to them what he must suffer. And in the same time, as he gets done with this, he's getting pulled aside by James and John. And we know by the transfiguration story, they were with him in that moment. And they know what they witnessed and what they saw. And like Peter, they want to jump to that celebration. They want to move past all the suffering that must take place and move to the celebration. And in the same time, as they know this thing, and they're still kind of, well, they don't know, but they're like, you just don't know what they're thinking. And now they're saying, we want to be with you in glory. We want to sit by your right side. And he's almost like in this bewilderment moment, I would think, where Christ is going, kind of looking at them. I'd be in this confused state going, did you not just hear what I said? Do you not understand that I have to go through this? And by being with me in glory, that means that you have to go through this also. And so he asked them, are you able to drink from the cup that I drink or be baptized in the baptism of which I'm baptized with? And they're enthusiastic, we do. And so then he asked them again, do you understand? And in the, it's almost like a deeper layer of this question, without words, he says, are you able to face the passion that I must face? Are you able to face this crucifixion, the suffering that I am going to go through? Not only that I must go through, but I'm willingly going to face. It's not an action that I really want to do, but yet I'm going to do it. But it's something I must do for the sake of not only myself, but for others. Because Christ is getting that, trying to get them to understand that his upcoming suffering and torment and crucifixion is not an action that they will enthusiastically want to partake in. It's not a place of glory. It's not a place of, you know, where they get to jump over it. But it's a place of submitting. Of something you do not want to voluntarily do, but it's something that you know you must go through. And to find themselves in that element of helplessness and persecution. And trying to get them to understand that by joining with Christ and drinking the cup of communion and being baptized in the waters of baptism, that they are freely taking that place of service and sacrifice. That they do not know what they're asking for at this point in their journey. But they will see that and witness that and encounter that as they continue on this path. So as Lutherans, for us, it is examining our understanding of the law and of gospel. Which you hear that quite a bit. Hopefully you heard that in confirmation quite a bit. And it's that understanding that suffering is part of the world we are called to. Because we live in a broken world filled with sin. And it's because of the covenants that that were made with Adam and Abraham and David were broken. And because of the laws were unfulfilled, because of that sin, that we enter into suffering, that it was entered into. However, because of Christ, the gospel, the good news, from David's line, was fulfilled by grace. By Christ fulfilling that, coming into the world to take on that suffering on our behalf. Was crucified on our behalf and took that place for us and gave us grace freely given with no action or part of our own needed. And to me, that is so freeing, coming from another denomination where there was nothing I could do. I had to earn it, and there was nothing I could do to earn it. And to come into Lutheran, it was amazing. That free gift of grace, and to wrap my head around it, is still just one of those most amazing things. That hope that we have, that it's nothing that we can earn, but it's simply given to us freely. Therefore, when we look at that, to know that we are joined in our suffering, with Christ, that we are reminded that we are not alone, that we do not need to fear it, that we do not need to dwell in the suffering and death, but focus on the proclamation of comfort, of Christ's return and that free gift given, and that Christ is dwelling among us. And looking outwards, it's remembering that when we come in to service and worship, that is by partaking of the cup and of baptism, in that remembrance of it, that not only are we joined in the suffering, but also the beauty of the cross. That when we hear Christ's voice calling us, we are united in one body. receiving the healing and renewal of the waters of baptism and through the body and blood of communion. And within the liturgy of worship, all the many pieces that we renew and we're reminded of each and every Sunday, that we're reminded of our unity with the Holy Spirit, with the ancient church, the present church, and the future church. So my question for us to dwell on this week, and the information to dwell on this week, is deciding what our view of suffering in this world is, and to be as it is influenced by our theology and our understanding and our relationship with the Trinity, and how it affects how you share your relationship with Christ with others as they suffer, and to listen and to love on them as Christ listens and loves on you. Amen.